Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And for those of you who are not initiated, Intelligent Medicine is all about natural medicine and high-tech medicine. We put the best of both worlds together for you each weekend. And Intelligent Medicine is just the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon, because we also have weekday podcasts. Podcasts are available at drhoffman.com, but on weekends, we answer your questions. 888-302-3684. You can call us with questions about medicine and health. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. We've got lots to talk about, all kinds of things in the news this week. And among the things that we're going to tackle, a lot of people think that it's really hard to follow a healthy diet. It just takes so much energy to shop and prepare food. And many people, when we tell them to eat more healthy, they say, well, I'm just too lazy. I'm too tired. But is it possible that they are tired precisely because they're eating all that junk food? Turns out that a new study suggests that it may not be that people are too lazy to eat healthy. It may be that they're lazy because they're eating junk. 888-302-3684. That story we'll cover in just a moment. But before we get to that, this is a big, big story that came out this week. I call it the great flu drug train robbery. Okay, we've heard about the impending pandemics of the flu for many, many years. And there have been all kinds of movies about the potential for terrible outbreaks of viruses. And this has scared us into developing multi-billion dollar stockpiles of flu drugs. And this has been a great boon to the pharmaceutical industry. And, oh, by the way, they run advertisements on TV telling you that if you get the flu, well, call your doctor, because the doctor can prescribe one of the antiviral medications that purports to help reduce your symptoms. The only problem is that if you call your doctor, first of all, getting an appointment with your doctor is a big problem. By the time you realize you have the flu, call your doctor, make an appointment, get yourself into a doctor's office where, by the way, that's precisely the way that the flu gets spread, because you're sitting there in the waiting room for maybe an hour or so and you're coughing and hacking, and you may spread the flu to countless others in the doctor's office. So then you get your prescription for Tamiflu or Relenza, and you take it in your hot little hand to the pharmacy where you proceed to cough and infect more people. And a few hours later, you begin to take the medication, but often too late to make a difference in the course of the flu. It's actually acknowledged that if you don't take these medications at the first instigation of a flu, they're not likely to make a big difference. Well, two ways that the pharmaceutical companies have bilked the public. One is because these drugs, according to a major expose in the British Medical Journal, the BMJ published this very unusual and highly critical expose of the pharmaceutical industry this week. These drugs, A, don't work, and B, they have been stockpiled by governments across the world against the not very real exigency of a severe pandemic of the flu. It's like crying wolf time and time again, scaring governments into believing that there's going to be a widespread epidemic. And you, the taxpayer, as well as the consumer, have been bilked to the tune of literally billions of dollars. Even in England alone, £500 million has been expended to stockpile these relatively useless medications. Now, let's take a look at the data. First of all, the problem has been that the first studies looked promising, on Tamiflu and Relenza. They first started coming out in the late 1990s and then in the early 2000s. But it turns out that these studies were actually highly fraudulent. The studies emphasized the benefits of these drugs, but the downsides and the negative studies were actually concealed. And it was only through a recent effort by determined investigators of the British Medical Journal that they were able to lay their hands on the actual results, the data that was accumulated by the drug companies in vetting these new medications. So this is a very, very serious scientific no-no. To take studies that are positive and publish them and publicize them and use them for drug approval, but at the same time, when the results weren't so good or when they showed bad side effects, to deep six or conceal the results. According to the investigators in the British Medical Journal, and they actually provide a very, very detailed timeline of how these drugs were developed. They say that, for example, in February 2012, the World Health Organization refused to answer the British Medical Journal's questions on the review process that led to the inclusion of Tamiflu on the essential medicines list worldwide. The United States Centers for Disease Control, also in February 2012, refused to answer the requests of investigators of the British Medical Journal for clarification of what data its continued promotion of Tamiflu was based on. And so it required a Freedom of Information request to the European Medicines Agency. That's the EU's FDA. It's a European-wide version of United States Food and Drug Administration. It required a Freedom of Information request to get them to release over 20,000 pages from the 16 Roche Pharmaceutical Company Tamiflu clinical study reports, because they hadn't actually released all the data before. So this it required sleuthing and investigation to learn that these drugs really don't work. So what are the facts? Well, the facts are that the actual benefits of these drugs have been vastly exaggerated. According to the research, if you were to take Tamiflu or Relenza at the very beginning of a flu properly, which is actually kind of doubtful, it's hard to know precisely when you're going to get the flu, much less get the medication at the time that you need it, your flu would last 6.5 days. Without the medication, your flu would last 7 days. So with this expensive medication, very expensive, well, there's about a half-day reduction in your symptoms of the flu. That's hardly worth it. But I guess you might say, well, it might be worth it, because any reduction in these terrible symptoms of the flu, that would be good. But what about the side effects? Well, the side effects were concealed. The side effects include severe nausea, vomiting, severe headaches, and even psychiatric problems, which are particularly prevalent in young children for whom the drug is earmarked, because it's very bad for a child to have the flu, so make sure that the child gets the Tamiflu, the Relenza, early in the course of their flu. Well, side effects are pretty serious. So that half day, on average, you may or may not get the half day, because you may not be the average patient, but on average, a half day benefit from 6.5 days of misery to 7 days of misery, that doesn't justify these severe side effects. Well, they might argue, okay, look, for the average schmo who's got a flu, it's not going to make a big difference. But these drugs are important because they're going to keep you out of the hospital if you have the flu. The flu actually kills people, and we want to prevent terrible complications of the flu that are uncommon but devastating. So that's why we want to have these drugs around. Well, according to the British Medical Journal analysis, made no difference. It made absolutely no difference in the rate of serious complications. Moreover, they also checked for pneumonia. Pneumonia, serious complication of the flu. Obviously, that's actually what killed people in the 1918 flu pandemic that killed millions across the world. Well, it turns out that Tamiflu and Relenza have very little, if any, impact on the risk of pneumonia if you took them early in the course of a flu. So a great flu drug train robbery has been perpetrated on not just the American public, but the public of many countries across the world, as they've stockpiled massive amounts of the Tamiflu and Relenza. There's scandal, there's obfuscation, there's stonewalling, there's deliberate falsehood. And this is truly a case study of how the pharmaceutical industry operates and bamboozles the public with no benefit and to your detriment. I'm not saying there aren't good drugs out there, but Tamiflu and Relenza have turned out to be an epic fail. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We like your phone calls. 888-302-3684. That's our number for the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system, because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
At Nordic Naturals, we believe that omega oils are essential to an extraordinary life. By correcting the global omega-3 deficiency, each generation can have the opportunity to grow healthy and strong, so you can do more of what you love with those you love. What's essential to us is proven purity and leading freshness. All of our oils surpass strict international standards for purity and freshness. Our oxygen-free processing combined with natural flavoring ensures no fishy smell, taste, or aftertaste. 100% of our fish is wild-caught, sourced in line with the Norwegian Fisheries Management System, and processed with minimal environmental impact. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health food stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684. And some important milestones for Intelligent Medicine this week. 2,600 newsletter subscribers. We reached that milestone. Now we surpassed it with 2,610. Lots of people enjoying our weekly newsletter that is sent out electronically. Go to drhoffman.com to subscribe. 1,200 Facebook likes and 100,000 unique visits to drhoffman.com last month. So lots of people partaking of our intelligent medicine information. Very happy to do that. So this week, new research shows that if you feel too tired to prepare healthy food for yourself, a lot of people say, well, the reason I eat junk food is because I'm just too busy, too tired to eat healthy. Well, a new UCLA psychology study provides evidence that being overweight and eating junk food makes people tired and sedentary, not the other way around. Right. So what that suggests is that you simply have to break that vicious cycle. The research was based on studying rats, and they gave one group of rats a healthy rat diet of unprocessed foods, including fish meal rich in omega-3 fatty acids. The second group got highly processed, poor quality rat chow, including substantially more sugar. And after just 3 months, the researchers, of course, observed a significant difference in the amount of weight the rats had gained. one diet led to obesity, the other didn't, no question. But also, the rats on the junk food diet demonstrated impaired performance, taking substantially longer breaks than the lean rats before returning to the task. They became tired, demotivated. They became the equivalent of that harried urban dweller who gets home from work or from a long car commute and says, let's order a pizza. let's see what's on the Chinese food menu, or let's pop a TV dinner into the microwave and nuke it. What are the implications for humans? Do people who are overweight become less healthy, or do less healthy people become overweight? Clearly, it is a vicious cycle. A vicious cycle of it just gets worse and worse and worse. All right, this item comes to us from, again, the British Medical Journal. Yeah, I really like the British Medical Journal because there's something about the Brits where they do a lot of independent research. They challenge the accumulated supposed wisdom of medicine, and they re-examine some of the tried and true things that we do. One of which is to prescribe antibiotics for people with bronchitis. Bronchitis is considered, a little more serious than a cold. I mean, got a cold, it's a no-brainer. Don't take antibiotics. It's a waste of time. But if you have a more serious cough, chronic cough that's developing after a viral infection, that is usually a reason to prescribe antibiotics. Or many people believe that. Many doctors believe that. Well, here's what they found. Investigators in the United Kingdom assessed the effects of either no antibiotic prescription or what is called a delayed antibiotic prescription. In other words, watchful waiting. Waiting for a few days to see if a serious bronchitis develops into something worse, and then, if necessary, prescribing antibiotics. They looked at 900 primary care patients with acute respiratory tract infections. About one-third of patients were prescribed antibiotics immediately. The rest were randomized to one of four delayed prescription strategies, required to contact the doctor by phone to request prescriptions, which is a little bit of a stumbling block. And this is something that doctors can do. Patients sometimes get ticked off, but the doctors say, look, I'm not going to give you an antibiotic, but if you're worse, give me a call. Number two, they were given post-dated prescriptions, which is also kind of a cool idea. It's like, here, I'm going to give you a prescription, but please don't fill it. And if in a few days you're not better, it's going to become active and you can go out and you get your antibiotic. Three, allowed to pick up prescriptions but asked to wait before requesting them. And four, given prescriptions and asked to wait to use them. All right? So the various strategies, they did not want to just say, no, no way, no how, you're not going to get antibiotics. That would be irresponsible. So what they found was quite interesting. Strategies of delayed or no antibiotic prescription in patients with acute respiratory tract infections resulted in at least 60% fewer patients using antibiotics. So they accomplished one thing. Fewer antibiotics were used. And this is a big problem because we're overusing antibiotics. People are becoming more and more sensitive. More and more resistant to antibiotics. And the germs are getting smarter and they're becoming resistant. So 60% of fewer patients used antibiotics. And there was no difference in the outcomes. There was absolutely no difference. So this clearly illustrates how we're overusing drugs, and strategies to reduce antibiotics can be effective. If your doctor refuses to give you an antibiotic right away, thank your doctor because he or she is doing the right thing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number for questions on intelligent medicine.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Did you hear about this story? This story is incredible. It's about elderly residents of a Long Island nursing home getting performances from Chippendales striptease, actually not Chippendales stripteasers, but some of a low-rent version of a male stripper in the facility's recreation room. Now, I heard this story on the radio, and I wanted to learn more. So I Googled, and this is one of the pitfalls of Googling, I Googled nursing home stripping. and here's what I got. I got a list of special products that are designed for elderly and nursing home residents. Men's and women's special needs anti-stripping nursing home jumpers. These are special pajamas that have extra secure fasteners at the back to prevent disrobing. Because apparently, I mean, it's not funny. Disrobing is a there's a tendency for older and demented nursing home residents to spontaneously disrobe. And that's not cool. So they have to give them special nursing home jumpers. But that's not what this story is about. And this story actually takes me back about 30 years to my medical school training, a story that I'll tell you in just a moment. But here's the story from, I guess it's a newspaper, Long Island. The elderly residents of a Long Island nursing home saw their shuffleboards replaced by washboard abs when they were subjected to a striptease in the facility's rec room. Now, here's what happened. They had hired these strippers to come into the nursing home, I guess, to entertain the elderly residents. And I think it seems like the elderly residents were cool with it. They were enjoying it. In fact, some of the older female residents were really getting into it. They were doing the thing, you know, where you place the dollar bills in the thong of the stripper. But the stripper was a muscular male stripper. And there were these very old ladies who were just really grooving to it, placing the money, the bills, into the underwear of the stripper. The son of one resident, 85-year-old Bernice Youngblood, happened to show up at precisely such a time. And he noticed, he didn't actually see a spontaneous performance, but he saw on the bulletin board of the nursing home a picture of his mom stuffing dollar bills into a dancer's briefs. And he was mortified. He said, and he is now filing suit. This is a lawsuit. And here's what his plaintiff's statement says. His mother, plaintiff Bernice Youngblood, was placed in apprehension of imminent offensive physical harm as she was confused and bewildered as to why a muscular, almost nude man was approaching her and placing his bodies and limbs over her, the suit alleges. So her family attorneys state in the complaint that her son, Franklin Youngblood, found the offensive photograph among her belongings. The irate son then confronted a nurse, but the staffer lunged at him and tried to snatch the picture away. See, no, this is no good. That's where you want to say, hey, be cool with this. Your mom, you know, was enjoying it. This is part of our recreational program to stimulate our patients with an entertainment event. They allege that hiring male strippers to perform for the defendant's nursing home patients was a serial occurrence. Bernice Youngblood, the complaint alleges, has lived 85 years as a traditional Baptist hardworking lady, and now she has been defiled. This actually recollects to me an experience that I had as a medical trainee at a VA hospital in Manhattan. That's where I did some of my residency training. And if 30 years ago, the VA hospitals had these big wards, which were rooms like military barracks, where you would put in 24 guys in beds. They were in this big, large room. And usually you would go into this room, and there were the sick veterans there, really mostly a bunch of sad sacks, many of them ill with diabetes and some recovering from heart surgery, and, you know, mostly in a state of real lethargy. And I got used to working in that setting day in and day out. And one day I was turning the corner to go into this big ward of two dozen beds, and I heard a big commotion. And there was music, and they were shouting. And what I saw just astonished me. As I walked in the room, I saw a female Santa stripper stripping to, I guess it was a stripogram. There was a get well message to one of the veterans in that room. And these guys, who were ordinarily a bunch of lethargic, sad sack kind of guys, they were hooting and hollering and jumping up and down on their beds like little kids, all excited by this female stripper. And it was Christmas time. It was, she had a Santa costume on. And it didn't go too far. And nobody, not a single one, came to harm. No heart attacks. With the amount of exertion that these guys underwent, you'd think they would all be dropping dead, because some of them were, clogged coronary arteries, out of control diabetes. Some were recent amputees. And yet here they were, bouncing up and down, tremendously excited. And I thought to myself, this is really an example of something called psychoneuroimmunology, or the power of the mind to heal. Because for those guys, seeing a stripper in the drab setting of the VA hospital, you know, so antiseptic, so lonely and so dislocated, was such a positive message to their immune systems and their metabolisms that it really was beneficial. So I don't know. I'm not condoning what happened at this Long Island facility. I don't know the facts, but sometimes you got to have a sense of humor. You got to have some fun, and older individuals, sick individuals, can sometimes benefit from humor and lightening things up. And maybe, just maybe, those male strippers were therapeutic. Think about it. Therapeutic for those elderly residents of that usually sedate nursing home. I'm just saying. Should there be a lawsuit? I'd love to be present in the courtroom when they argue that back and forth. That should really be an episode of the TV shows based on, this is based on a real life occurrence. They ought to definitely do that on one of the TV court dramas. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And, you know, there are lots of health gurus who make the rounds of TV talking about the latest findings and making their recommendations on what is going to keep you healthy and disease-free. And I've gotten a lot of inquiries about a guy who has he's appeared on Fox News, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I believe he's been on Dr. Oz. And he is an unmitigated foe of taking vitamins and supplements. And so the other day I saw this guy interviewed on Fox News, and I posted my impressions on Facebook. I got a lot of feedback, some too profane to repeat here on family radio. Dr. David Agus, who wrote a book recently called, modestly entitled, The End of Illness. That became a New York Times number one bestseller. And his new book is A Short Guide to a Long Life, which I'll talk about in just a moment. So his top recommendations on Fox News, I was mortified. I was screaming at the TV. Number one, get an annual flu shot. Okay, that, you know, may or may not be the end all and be all of hell. I mean, I'm not inalterably opposed. Number two, everyone should take a baby aspirin past the age of 40. Make sure you take a baby aspirin. Number three, take a statin. If you're over 40, take a statin. More people should be taking statins than even they're now saying, although the recent guidelines have included another 13 million people on the list of people who should be taking statins, as if not enough people were already on statins. Number four, ditch your vitamins and supplements. Number five, don't detox with juicing. He points out juicing as one of the real health hazards that a lot of people are succumbing to. And I say, really? Really? Are those... These are the top recommendations from a guy who purports to be, quote, one of the world's leading cancer doctors and pioneering biomedical researchers, who's getting a lot of play on TV. So I haven't read his books, but I took the liberty of reading a review of his book, The End of Illness, on Amazon, where they post reviews. And a very astute reviewer wrote this: for once I fell for the hype surrounding a book, but after reading The End of Illness, I realized I should have stuck with my original plan to check it out from the library. There's absolutely nothing groundbreaking or particularly significant about anything contained in this book. He boils it down to the following in this book. One, don't believe every health study that comes out. Duh. Number two, taking vitamins is not as good as eating healthy food. And I say, okay, yeah, eating. But who says that you should not eat healthy food because you're taking vitamins? This is actually one of the big myths that's promulgated by the foes of vitamins and supplements. They're saying, oh, if you take vitamins and supplements, you get a false sense of security and you won't eat a healthy diet. Who does that? The vast majority of people take vitamins and supplements don't do so because they have an unhealthy lifestyle. They do so to augment their healthy lifestyle. Number three, try to avoid or lessen inflammation in the body. Well, that's a big duh. I mean, it's something we've been talking about for 20 years or so. And how do you do that? Well, he doesn't really tell you how to do that except by making sure that you get flu shots so you don't get the flu, because the flu is inflammatory. So he says if you take a flu shot, you won't get the flu. But I wish I had a buck for everybody who tells me that they took the flu shot, but they got the flu anyway, or they got sick from the flu shot. And he also says make sure you wear comfortable clothes. That'll really help you reduce your inflammation. Number four, he tells you to exercise. Really? How about that for an innovative suggestion? Number five, keep a regular schedule for eating, sleeping, and exercising. No. What a revelation. And number six, keep track of how you are health-wise. And oh, by the way, he says you may want to get a DNA test to show your susceptibility to certain illnesses. Tests which, oh, very coincidentally, are offered by a company co-founded by the very self-same Dr. Agus, who wrote the book The End of Illness. And in some of those tests are very scary prognostications about you might be at risk for cancer, heart disease, stroke, osteoporosis, and so on, based on very, very flimsy information. In fact, the FDA just wrapped 23andMe for putting out that kind of information. In many states, like my own state of New York, you can't even get these tests because they're too alarmist and the technology is not there. So there you have it. David Agius, world's leading cancer doctor and a pioneering biomedical researcher, offering you information that you probably don't really want to hear. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, this article comes to us courtesy of my good colleague, Dr. Alan Gaby, who points out that sleeplessness is a big problem among kids. You know, I had sleeplessness when I was a kid, and I was also a very finicky eater. I didn't eat any fish. And maybe, just maybe, here's the correlation. 40% of kids have sleeplessness. An Oxford University study recently published in the Journal of Sleep shows that by providing kids with DHA, deoxyhexaenoic acid, which comes from marine fish or alternatively algae, if you prefer a vegetarian source, they gave the kids DHA or placebo for 16 weeks, and they found that children who received the DHA not only had a better quality sleep, but significantly fewer and shorter night wakenings. So had my parents known that then, you know, I was a tough kid to deal with, you know, didn't want to eat fish. But it's not precisely clear how DHA relates to sleep. But DHA may act in the brain to enhance the production of the hormone melatonin, which plays a role in sleep regulation. So there are natural sources of DHA from fish, but if your kid doesn't like fish, consider products like Core Omega. Core Omega is it's sort of a gel pack product that's tasty. Kids like it. One of the products that we also have at drhoffman.com, Ultra Omega, a rich source of DHA, higher DHA to EPA ratio than the usual fish oil supplements. Well, thanks for joining us for this hour of the program. Remember, you can call us at 888-302-3684. Join us for our next hour.